Chapter 8. Diana was dead asleep. Jesse had showered, shaved, and crept quietly downstairs. He was dressed in a pair of raggedy athletic shorts and an old LAPD t-shirt, so worn and faded that it was in danger of disintegrating into a memory at any second. The den was mostly dark, and he spent a fair amount of time, more than he should have, staring at the bar. He poured himself a club soda, got a lime wedge out of the fridge, and squeezed it into the glass. He walked back into the den, raised his glass to the poster of Ozzie Smith, and drank. Twisted up his lips. He liked soda and lime well enough, just not as much as good scotch, or second-rate scotch, or wine, or beer. "So, Wiz, what do you think about my swinging bunt today?" Jesse asked the man in the poster. Suspended in time and captured by the photographer in midair as he leapt to make a play, Ozzy kept his answer to himself. "When did you know it was over, Oz? When did you know you were losing it?" Same answer. Resigned to Ozzy's silence, Jesse shook his head and said, "At least you're consistent." He checked the time, 10:35, 9:35 in Dallas. Jen would probably still be up. Pacing, cell phone clutched in his hand, he knew Diana was right. He had to talk to Jen before he answered her wedding invitation. He wanted to get some sense of her. Did she actually want him there? Was she playing with him? It wouldn't be the first time. Was this a last desperate attempt to get him to reconcile? Truth be told, he wasn't sure he wanted to know any of these answers. Although he had moved on and was in love, far more in love with Diana than he had ever really been with Jen, there was a gnawing, stubborn part of him that didn't want to let go. And what that piece of Jesse was shouting at him was, "Jen is mine. She always was and always will be." He guessed he dreaded the notion that Jen's little voice wasn't shouting the same thing to her about Jesse as Jesse's voice was screaming to him about her. He didn't know why it was so important to him, but it was. And if there was one thing in this world Jesse Stone wasn't, it was a liar. Did he tell lies? In the name of right or justice, definitely, but never to fool himself. Good thing there was another voice in Jesse's head, Dix's voice. And though it spoke to him more calmly, it was equally insistent. Therapy changes you. But the old you never disappears. You still carry all that old baggage, the bad patterns and self-destructive attachments, with you until the day you die. The difference is you keep it separate. You know it's there as a reminder of what not to do, how not to react. He dialed the 214 number. It was answered on the second ring.
"Hell, if it isn't Jesse Stone, not the way I thought we'd meet," a man said. He had a booming, friendly voice. Then, "Hold on a second. Hey, Jen, hun, it's Jesse on the phone. Give me a second, then come and get it. Hey, Jesse, Hale Hunsicker here."
"Nice to meet you, Hale," Jesse said, trying to match the friendliness in his counterpart's voice. He was doomed to fail because boisterousness and glad-handing weren't in his DNA.
"I hope you're going to grace us all with your presence at the wedding, Jesse. It'll break Jen's heart if you're not there. I don't mind telling you, your opinion still means an awful lot to our girl."
Our girl. This was getting strange and uncomfortable. This wasn't a phrase he had expected to hear when he called.
"That's exactly what I wanted to talk to Jen about, Hale." "Good man, good man. Well, here she is. Like I said, nice meeting you. Come down a few days early. We'll do some shooting and riding together. You be well."
"Jesse, Jesse," Jen said, her voice several decibels lower than Hale's and much more tentative. It sounded like maybe she had dreaded receiving this call as much as Jesse dreaded having to make it.
"Is everything all right? It's an hour later there."
"Fine, and yes, it's around 10:40.
"Are you sure you're all..."
"Hale sounds like a good man," he said, cutting her off.
Jesse had learned not to fall into the well of Jen's neurosis and manipulations. He wasn't in the mood for her drama, because if he let the pattern play out, her drama would somehow become his, too. They needed to talk about the wedding, but that was it. Although in reality Dix rarely gave Jesse an attaboy, he pictured his therapist standing in the corner, applauding.
Jen, I'm not coming. I'm sorry. I needed to tell you and not just mail you the RSVP.
Before the words came out of his mouth, he wasn't sure what his answer would be. But as soon as he heard the neediness in Jen's voice, all sorts of alarms went off in his head. No, he had to move on once and for all. If he had any real hope with Diana, he had to leave Jen in his rear view and then break the mirror. But if Jen were the type to give up easily and let go, they wouldn't be having this conversation.
Why not? Is it Hale? You don't have to worry about him. He's like you, Jesse. He's his own man. He's not intimidated by our past.
It's not Hale, Jen. He sounds like a good guy.
He's a wonderful man. I want you to meet him.
I will someday.
Why not at the wedding? She said.
Because your ex-husband doesn't belong at your second wedding. And things in paradise, well, you know how things come up.
It's her, isn't it? It's Diana. She doesn't want you to come.
That wasn't it at all. In fact, Jesse had hoped Diana would make this easy for him by saying just that, by expressing her desire for him not to go. But Diana treated Jesse as he deserved to be treated, as a man to be trusted, a man who knew his own mind, a man to make his own decisions. Jen didn't let him answer.
Bring her along, Jesse. It was stupid of me not to have invited you with a guest. That was just me being me. Please don't hold that against me, not now. Not when I'm on the verge of being happy for the first time in a long time.
There it was, Jen trying to make Jesse responsible for her happiness. If he'd had any doubts at all about not going, he didn't have them any longer.
Sorry, Jen, I can't. And just so you know, my decision has nothing to do with Diana.
Then who?
Me and you, Jen. Same as always. I wish you all the best. Hale does really seem like a good guy.
Then he was off the phone. He was feeling a lot of things, but not the one thing he wanted to feel. Relief. He looked up at Ozzie Smith and said,
"Yeah, Oz, I know. What did I expect?"